with your presence. Fill this room with your glory. Fill this room with your might, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Now we touch and agree here today, Lord God, that whatever your purpose is for today shall be accomplished. Now, Lord, bless your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Easter morning. Easter morning. Resurrection morning. Amen. Hallelujah. This time every year, all throughout our country and throughout our culture, folks are sharing what we call an Easter message all throughout the land. Now, I hope you understand what this whole thing's all about. See, because what we do as human beings, we start putting our own thing in it. You know, that's why we have the Easter baskets and all the little goodies. And we're going to give out some goodies at the end of this service. Amen. Simply because that's what we do every Easter. Amen. We weren't motivated or directed by God to do it. We just felt like, hey, let's just do something nice. God is good all the time. Amen? Amen. Now, when you talk about Easter, you got to understand what this whole thing all about. I don't claim to understand everything, but I've come to believe, listen to me, I've come to believe that Easter means a lot, and it should mean a lot to all of us. I bet there's somebody in here, at least one, that have sinned before you got saved. Oh, yeah. Amen? Amen. I bet you committed at least one sin that you remember. Yes. At least one. Yes. Unless you got saved at three, you may not remember. You may not at all. When you say, well, preacher, what's this whole thing all about? Let me tell you what this whole thing is all about in my mind. You know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know what it's like? It's like us, you, we, committing crimes, I won't say sins, crimes. The type of crimes that would take you to the gas chamber. The type of crimes that would take you to the electric chair. Whatever they are. Whatever they are. You know, not crimes that somebody has lied about you, not crimes where you've been tricked into doing something, crimes where you deliberately made a decision to do something that'll lead you to legal death, the electric chair, hallelujah, the gas chamber, or whatever it is. But then somebody pops up and say, hey, you don't have to die. You don't have to go to the electric chair. You don't have to go to the gas chamber. I'll die for you. Now, just can you just imagine that? Now, far as the legality of all that in our culture, I don't know if our culture would allow somebody to go to the electric chair for you. But if they did, wouldn't that make you feel good? It'd make you feel sorry for the person that stepped up and want to do it, but chances are you let them do it. Amen. Well, that's what this whole thing about Jesus is. Jesus stepped up and he said, listen, you don't have to die. Because listen, don't lie to yourself. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So whether or not you did something that deserved to go to the electric chair or not, if you sin, the Bible said you deserve death. And when God uses that word death, he's talking about eternal death, and he's talking about eternal death in hell. Everybody say in hell. In hell. We don't like to say that word that often. So the wages of sin is eternal death in hell. So that's what you and I deserve. There's no good person, bad person, none of that stuff. If you sin, you deserve to die and go to hell for how long?
Forever.
I got to laugh at that, forever. So we're not used to thinking forever. We're used to thinking 3 months, 4 months, 5 years, 6 years, whatever. But forever, once you get there, that's forever. But the gift of God is what?
Eternal life.
Eternal. How long is eternal? Forever. 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 So Jesus died so that you and I would not have to die and go to hell. But then after he died, that's the price he paid on the cross. That's what the cross was all about. The cross was taken, Jesus taking out his wallet and said, I'll pay for that. Yeah, they deserve to go, but I'll pay for that. And he paid for it on the cross. But then something happened to him on the third day. Hallelujah. What happened on the third day? He got up. Well, listen to me now. If you paid the price, listen for me, for my sin, for my debt, on the cross, through the crucifixion, through the suffering, through the pain, then what's this rising from the dead all about? He said, I had to rise from the dead. I had to rise from the dead. I couldn't stay in that state. Because if I stayed in that state, I couldn't be with you every day. I couldn't be with you in your home. I couldn't be with you at work. Come on, are you with me? I couldn't be with you at church. You may not understand that. You may not understand that, but he said, I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm alive, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you 24 hours unless you tell me to get out my life. And we're not foolish enough to do that, hopefully. So today we not only celebrate the fact that our sins have been paid for on the cross. Amen. We also celebrate that he's here with us. Amen. 24/7. Amen. If you let him be. Amen. He's here with us to direct us, to guide us, to show us the way, Amen. To teach us, to educate us. He's with us. He had to rise. He had to rise. He couldn't stay in that grave. He said, I can't stay in this condition. I've got to rise so I can be in a different state so that I can be with you 24/7. I don't expect everybody to understand that, but if you just believe it, that's all you got to do. Amen. That's all you got to do. But that first step, listen to me now, that first step is to get those sins paid for. Because if you don't get those sins paid for, you're going to hell. Amen. You're going to hell. Amen. People don't like us to tell them that. They don't like. They don't like for us to tell them that. But you're going to hell. I don't care if you think you're a good person, an intermediate person, a bad person, if you don't get your sins paid for, you're going to hell. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much offering you give. I don't care how nice you dress. And it ain't funny. But the reality is if you don't get your sins paid for, and there's only one way to do that, you're going to hell. Now, this is not a message by hell today. But God said, better tell them. Amen. Don't wait till you get on the other side and say, well, Pastor Dan, why don't you tell me? I told you. And I'll be loud. I'll be talking loud because I'll be over here, you'll be over there. So I have to, I told you. Today we come and we celebrate the fact that Jesus rose. He rose. And because of his resurrection, he's here with us today. He's here with us 24/7. That's what this thing is all about. That's what it's all about. He's here. Now don't miss out on this. If you're here, listen, if you haven't gone through that transformation, if you haven't made that change in your life or had that change made in your life, listen, that's what every message every Sunday is all about. You get changed and then grow up. There's no other message. There is no other message at all. Don't let that happen to you. God is a good God all the time, folks. Amen? There's a reality of this thing. If God didn't want to save us, he wouldn't even let us be here today. He told us to forsake not the gathering together of ourselves. Something happens when we come together. Something you hear that you don't hear when you're out by yourself. Something happens. Today I want to just talk a little bit about Easter, as we know Easter. Everybody say Easter.
Easter.
That word only shows up in the King James Version translation of the Bible. And today what I want to do, I just want to walk you through scriptures today. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad. Hallelujah. I am so glad that I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I know I deserve to go to hell for some of the stupid stuff I did. But God. Everybody say, but God. It's good news here today. I know I'm confident beyond all measures that I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
I don't care what lie the devil tell. I'm not going to hell. Amen. I remember getting saved, and I shared that story before, but I remember getting saved on the island of Guam in 1980. And listen, the next day after getting saved, I was a whole different creature. There's nothing you can do. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people try to work themselves to death in some sort of Christian ministry, you know, because they feel like they got to prove. You don't got to prove nothing. Just do whatever God tells you to do, and you'll be all right. I remember the next day after I got saved, the next morning, I was a whole new creature. Nobody preached to me. Nobody laid hands on me. Nobody did nothing. But because I was sincere when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, he came in. Amen? He came in. He came in. That's why I tell you, listen, you don't need to impress the pastor. You don't need to impress the deacons. You don't need to impress nobody, because none of them can keep you out of hell.
Amen.
Amen? And when Jesus comes in, let me tell you something. The Bible says, if a man be in Christ,
he's a new creature.
He's a whole new creature. Not because of the schools he went to. Hallelujah. Not because of the counseling he got. He's a whole new creature. I wish I had time to talk a little bit more about that. I tell you, if you don't feel like you're a whole new creature, maybe you don't have what you think you got. And you just need to get with God, hallelujah, in your hour of sincerity and get it right. Just get it right. All God wants from us is to be sincere. See, I can stand in front of this pulpit here and ask you to recite these words after me, but if you're not sincere, the words mean nothing.
Amen.
No, absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. I can have you recite those words, listen to me, and you're not sincere. Only thing I can do next is just give you a ticket and say, here, the bus shows up for hell next Tuesday, 2 o'clock. Come on in here. But we need to understand the reality of salvation. We need to understand that. Because, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks say, well, you know, I just don't feel like going to church no more. You get saved, you will. I'm telling you what I know. Folks say, well, I went last week. I went last month. Let me tell you something. I don't come here because I came last week or because I'm getting paid to give a message or anything like that. God said, forsake not the gathering together of yourself. Listen, hallelujah. I go on vacation, and I know I got to be within a group of saved folks. You just, it won't happen. You just won't have that desire to stay away from God and his people. You won't. You just won't. Something happens when you give your life to Jesus. Can I get a witness to that?
Amen.
Something happens. And God wants that something, whatever it is, to happen to each and every one of us. Amen. You don't have to worry about stop smoking. You don't have to worry about stop wearing mini dresses. You don't have to worry about stop doing drugs. Stop drinking alcohol. Stop lying. Stop gambling. Stop running around with lust. You don't have to worry about none of that stuff. Because when a man is in Christ, he's a whole new creature. Amen? It's just not the same person anymore. Let me take you to Acts chapter 12, where that word Easter shows up. I'm going to look at the first four verses. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain people of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterion of soldiers to keep him, intended after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So that's the only time we see that word Easter in that translation. There was already a celebration of Jesus' resurrection way back then. Most folks didn't refer to it, his resurrection, as Easter, but they were celebrating it nevertheless. And so we come to the event, and I want to show you the event. And in order to show the event, I've got to take you to Luke chapter 24. And looking at the first eight verses. He says, now upon the first day of the week, we know that as Sunday, very early in the morning, there came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stones rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in. Now look at this. And they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he was risen. He was gone. It wasn't about his body anymore. He's with us in spirit every single day, every single day. This is such a good feeling being saved, folks. Amen? This is such a good feeling being saved. I've been drunk before. This is better than being drunk. Amen. Can I get a witness here?
Amen.
And verse 4 says, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said to those two men, why seek ye? So two men said to them, why seek you the living among the dead? In other words, the angel said, nobody around here in these kind of tombs except dead people. And then he started talking to them about Jesus. He said in verse 6, he is not here, but is what? Risen. Resurrected. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified. It's got to happen. Why has it got to happen? If it didn't happen, hallelujah, your sins would not be forgiven. You would be on the way to hell.
Amen.
And the third day, rise again. He told you. He told you that's what he's going to do. And then verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. And they remembered his words. Do you remember his words? He said, I'm going to be crucified for your sins.
Yes, Lord.
And then he said, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Because that would need to be. Listen, we understand in part. We understand just a little bit in our state of living here today. But the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13 says, when you get to the other side, then you will see what you don't see now. Then you will see the whole picture. Then you will really, really understand why he had to be resurrected again. In 1 Corinthians 15, there's an admonishment for all of us. And let me take you to that. I told you today, I want to give you some scriptures, just a word. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 8, it says, moreover, brethren, this is Paul talking, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. You know, and I read that, I must have read that, I don't know how many times, I can't even guess. But, you know, when I read that one sentence talking about just believing in vain, I thought about all the people that went through, that goes through all the rituals and the emotions of being saved but not really saved. All that's in vain. Amen? All that's in vain. All that's in vain. You've got to believe God. You've got to believe that Jesus is the only way. You've got to believe that. You've got to accept Jesus Christ to come into your life and make a difference. You've got to do it. Otherwise, all your actions are in vain. They're in vain. I think somehow or another, when we talk about revival here, listen, when we talk about revival, and we all want revival to come. I'm gonna get back to this verse in a minute. But we all want revival to come. Those of us who save, I'm praying every day that God would stir something up inside of us. Amen. And give us the boldness to go around and tell people, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Now, you know we ain't going to tell nobody that, amen? Partly because we don't feel like it's the right thing to tell them. Partly because we're scared to tell them that. But listen to me, I'm praying for a revival to where we get so bold. We can tell people, listen, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Hopefully that'll stimulate another conversation as to why I'm going to hell and how do I keep from going to hell. Somebody say amen in this thing. Verse 3 says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. What? How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. See, even listen, we talk about Easter. We talk about resurrection. Let me tell you. The devil has done a job on us, and I'm saying us, the world. He's done a job on us. We see all this stuff, but I'm not sure that we really get to believe it. See, once you get to really believe that there is a hell and that you may wind up there eternally, you're going to go looking for something. But I don't really think that that's cognitively in our minds, in our spirits. We think that's just something the preacher say or whatever. I'm not sure. But I want to rest and assure you. Listen to me. I want to rest and assure you there is a hell. Look at somebody and tell them there's a hell.
There is a hell.
If we don't tell people nothing else, they got to get to the point where they understand there is a hell. There is a hell. I just don't know what to say to really make it real in people's lives. See, if you knew that there was a hell, amen? See, even in the natural, you're walking down the street and there's a great big hole about 15 feet wide, you know, there, but it's dark and you can't see it. And somebody tell you, listen, there's a big hole there. What you're going to do is try to be more cautious to go around from hitting into that hole. Is that not right? So I'm saying, Lord, the problem must be that folks just don't really, really believe that there's a hell. They must not. I share that story again about my last wife. She wasn't saved prior to her death. And she died in California, and I was here in Ahoskie. But about 3 to 4 hours after she died, she came back to life. And you've heard the story if you've been here a while, because it's real. The doctor said, look, we don't know what happened. He said, but we need you to get out here to California. And so I got out there to California. And when I got to my wife, she said, Dan, she said, there is a hell, and I saw it. Prior to going through that experience, she didn't want to have nothing to do with a Hoskin. She didn't want nothing to do with Dan Smith because he was saved. Are you with me? She wanted to do what the devil had her bound up doing, and she did it. But when I got out to California, she said, Dan, there is a hell, and I saw it. How do I get back to Ahoskie? The girl, The girl was a changed woman. I'm talking about changed. I don't even want to describe to you what she did with her lifestyle. I mean, you know, at the time, that was my wife. That was my wife. I loved my wife. Amen? But she had some issues. She said, look, whatever I got to do. And because of her physical condition, I didn't try to question her, you know, and going through her stuff, because cancer has ate up the inside of her body. And I just wanted her to be comfortable. But she said, Dan, she said, my life is with God, whatever he want me to do. She said, I'll do it. I'll just do it because I saw hell. She's the only person I know that can come back. Now, I don't tell this story to the world out there, but I've told it to you. And she said, the only reason I'm back here, Dan, is said because you did what God told you to do. 3 days later, she was gone to heaven. There's a hell. There's a hell. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, we need to be reminded. Come on now. See, because once that thing get in your mind, you're going to do what God tell you to do. Hallelujah. God is good. And verse 5 says, and that he was seen, talk about Jesus, after he died. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, talk about after his resurrection. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are falling asleep. I mean, they did. And verse 7, after that, Christ was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, a man who was supposed to be dead, but he was resurrected. In verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also, just like one born out of due time. Hallelujah. So he's giving witness to that. He said, yeah, a whole bunch of people saw him. 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 Hallelujah. A whole bunch of people saw him. When I got out to California with my last wife, I mean, the whole hospital was talking about him. Hallelujah. It was a weekend. The whole hospital was talking about this dead lady that came back. Talking about she seen hell. Let me tell you about the importance of the resurrection. Because it is important. It is important. The only thing that matters, brothers and sisters, is that you and I get saved. You and I give our lives to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. The rest of it is irrelevant. Tell somebody that's the only thing that matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't get caught up into being the most popular person because nobody cares. Let me just share with you several reasons why the resurrection was important. First of all, it proved that Jesus is the Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, this is what it says. He says, therefore does my Father love me. This is Jesus talking. Why? Because I lay down my life. Why? That I might take it again. Only person that can do that is God or the Son of God. And then he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then in Romans 1 and 4 it says, and declare, talking about Jesus Christ again, and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. The resurrection from the dead. Now, there's been others that has been resurrected for whatever God's reasons are. You know, we got YouTube now. You go to YouTube to talk about folks that have been resurrected. You go look it up. You know, you don't know why they came back, but they came back. But Jesus announced that even before he left here. Hallelujah. He said, I can do it. He said, I'll lay down my life, but I'll take it back. I'll take it back. Hallelujah. I'll take it back. So it proves that Jesus was the Son of God. Secondly, it guarantees, talk about his resurrection. It guarantees the value of his redemptive death. Let me take you to Romans 6 and 4. It says, therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, everybody say even so,
even so,
even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That's what I told you a few minutes ago. Listen, if you're saved, you're not the same person you used to be.
Amen.
You're not the same person you used to be. You're not. You've been raised up into the newness of life. And then 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, and if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. You're just going through a religious motion. And then he says, if Christ be not raised, you are yet in your sins. And if you are yet in your sins, you're going to hell. We got to keep laughing about that. Because we're free now. We're free now. We're free now. I don't know all the particulars of what's going on in hell. Don't even need to know.
Amen.
Don't need to know. God is a good God all the time. The third thing that his resurrection did was it verifies the truth of scriptures. It verifies the truth of scriptures. In Psalm 16, verse 10, it says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And then again in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, it says, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Hallelujah. He died. Neither his flesh did see corruptions. Hallelujah. Jesus died for you and I. Jesus died for you and I. It says his soul was not left in hell. Neither his flesh did see corruption. The fourth reason for the resurrection is that it's proof of future judgment of the wicked. Lord knows, I wish we really understood more about what this is all about, but we will. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31 says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to do what?
To repent.
God has commanded you to do it. He's not going to make you repent. But he's commanded you to do that. The devil keeps saying, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You got six more weeks. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God's not going to let you go to hell. Just don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. God doesn't let you go to hell. You send yourself to hell. Amen. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, what? In that he has raised him. Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. We got to get a little bit more excited about the death, burial, and resurrection thing. Hallelujah. 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 Whether or not we had a holiday in our culture called Easter or not. As saved people, we need to get excited about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The fifth thing that his resurrection proved is that it is the foundation for Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit and spiritual life to his people. John chapter 20, verse 22 says this, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's a whole new sermon, all of his own. All of his own. And then Romans 5 and 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his son's life. Oh, we got enough to shout about today. We got enough to holler about. We got enough to be happy about today. Hallelujah. Every time we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and where the devil could have had us today, We got enough to shout about. Hallelujah. 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 You know, that old devil be saying, he'd be catching, he'd say, you know you did it and you ain't gonna get away with that. Well, I got away with it. Yeah, I did it. That's what I tell the devil. Yeah, I did it. And I got away with it. Because I'm born again. Because Jesus done paid the price for that. Amen? He done took care of that. He done took care of that. And he'll take care of it for you. Amen? God's a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The sixth reason why the resurrection really, really applies to us today, or really matters, is that it assures believers of their future heavenly inheritance. Oh, I'm ready. Are you ready to go? I'm ready. Whenever he said, your work is finished. Whenever he said, well done, my good and faithful servant, come on up here. I'm ready. Are you ready? Now, I say that so calmly, but I don't know if everybody's ready or not. Amen? The world's got us thinking, look, we got to stay here. We can't leave here. Look, I'm ready to leave. But I'm not ready to leave until my purpose is accomplished. But I'm ready to leave here. I'm ready to leave here. I'm ready to leave here. You know, we put such negative pitch on death. And we understand that when we lose a loved one, it really kind of hurts because you feel empty. That person is gone. But if that person is saved, let me tell you something, that's a time to celebrate. That says that person's purpose is over, it's done. And now that person is with the Lord. That's something to be happy about. Amen? Yes, you're going to be lonely. Yes, you're going to miss them. Yes. Yes. Yes, but that's good news. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for who? For you. Amen. Ha! That's something to shout about. That's something to be happy about. Amen. I know we don't understand the fullness of going to eternal life with Jesus Christ, but when you get there, you will. You'll see it. I believe we'll know everything instantly. You'll just know it. You'll just know it. And you'll appreciate it and you'll love it. We were talking the other day about our loved ones that have gone before us. Hallelujah. Sister Eve and I, we were talking about that. We were talking about how we know that they're cheering for us. Amen. Hallelujah. That they're interceding for us. Amen. That in the spirit they're directed. Hallelujah. That they, hallelujah. 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 It's so good to be saved, folks. I'm going to tell you that. It's good all the time. The seventh purpose of the resurrection is that it makes available the presence of Christ and his power over sin in our everyday experience. See, you got power you don't even know about if you're a new creature. You got power that you don't even know about if you're a new creature. That's why we all have to be careful. Listen to me now. We all have to be careful once you get saved. Listen, as to what comes out of your mouth and what you ordain in your heart and your mind. Because you got a lot of power. You can call things that be not as if they were. Amen? You can do that. Some of us never experienced that because maybe we never knew we could. I'm not talking about magic here. I'm talking about the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about God speaking things into existence. Hallelujah. Think about it. Think about what kind of power it must have took to say, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be water. Let there be mountains. Hallelujah. What kind of power did it take to create a man? Now, listen, I don't know a whole lot about the physical body. Probably even less than people in the medical profession. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of stuff going on inside that body. And for somebody to have somebody, something to have the power to just say, let it be, in all the parts in the right place, and gave us the power and authority to reproduce that physically. And then God said, now that power is in us. Oh, Lord, open our eyes, who we are, what this is all about. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not me living. I got to laugh about that thing a minute. My life now is totally different than it was, listen, 40 years ago. I'm going to tell you. I just kind of laugh at that now. Hallelujah. Amen. I just laugh at it. Hallelujah. You know, thank God. Listen, thank God that Daniel Smith's not in front of you today. It's the Spirit of Christ that's in front of you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Every word that come out of my mouth, God is garnishing it and directing it and telling me what to say to you. I've got some words on the paper, but it's the Spirit of God that's speaking through you. God is a good God all the time. The scripture said, not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I'm hoping, listen, first of all, I'm believing that everybody in the sound of my voice is saved or will get saved really, really quick. Amen. Secondly, I'm believing that God's going to do something through us in the next decade, if we're here in the next decade, you know, that'll just blow your mind. Not through any not because of any individual that's here today, but because of his plan and his purpose for all of us. Amen. If you're in the sound of my voice, I can truthfully say I believe that God wants to use you. Not because of what you know, amen, but who you know. Amen. And that's him. Amen. I'm predicting and prophesying that. You're going to see some things through the people sitting in this pew right here, just this pew. I don't care what you think of them. The people sitting right here in these pews in the sound of my voice, God's going to just grab those that will let him. Amen. See, because we still got a few that just want to do things just their way because they all that or whatever. I don't know. But if you will let him, God's going to do some things through you to blow your mind. Blow your mind. Are you with me? My mind's already blown. Amen. My mind's already blown. And God wants, this Easter morning, God wants you to know that he wants to do some things through you. I don't care what you're experiencing in your mind or in your body. I don't care what your background has been like. Hallelujah. He's just looking for some willing servants, some people that have given their lives to him and letting him direct every decision that they make. Is that you? Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 20 says this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. When he do that, when he raised him from the dead, when Christ was raised here, listen, at that point in time, he had a plan for your life. You say, well, that was so long ago. To who? So long ago to who? Not to God. Here we are sitting, listen, sitting in America and say, hallelujah. None of us would even be here. That wouldn't even be in America except for the purpose and the plan of God. Amen. But you and I are sitting here. Hallelujah. Let me read verse 20 again and say, when he wrought him in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You see, that same power that raised Jesus from the grave now lives in all believers. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Hallelujah. That same power.
Hallelujah.
That same power lives inside of you if you're saved. Hallelujah. No more begging. No more crying. No more worrying. No more doubting. Hallelujah. Just knowing, hallelujah. And when God tells you to do something, just step out and do it.
Amen.
Do it. Not worrying about being embarrassed, not worrying about it falling down, not worrying about failing. Just do it. Because he's already giving you the power inside of you. So what is Easter all about? Easter is about, for you and I, the game is on. When he rose up, I believe Jesus said, the game is on. For all those that come after me and give their life to me, the game is on. Easter is about the devil being defeated in our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Easter is about the dispensation of the Gentiles. It's because Jesus gave his life that you and I can get saved. Easter is about the Holy Spirit being sent to us. Easter is about being set free from the laws of sin and death.
Amen.
Easter is about becoming more than a conqueror. Just the people in this room, if we would all wake up to the reality of God and Jesus in our lives and the power that rests inside of us, and just call out and just let your whatever it is you want, let it go and say, God, use me. Everybody say that. God, use me. Now you said it, you're going to do it. Oh, I just can't wait to see that. Hallelujah. I don't know if we're going to see it all at once or just a little bit at a time, but we're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. See, if we just read our Bible, we would realize that people that had the Spirit of God inside of them, listen, it wasn't just Jesus doing miracles. It was other folks that walked with him and slept with him, listened, and took on his spirit. It was those people that opened the eyes of the blind and told the cripple, you don't have to be lame anymore. It was those people. And I can see it all over Hoskey. I can see it all over Hertford County. I can see it all over Bertie, listen, and Gates in Northampton County. Folks be saying, listen, do you know that person? I don't know that person, but you know this is what they did. They laid hands, hallelujah, they laid hands on a blind man. Well, I know he didn't do it because I remember him from school. Easter is about being set free from strongholds, set free from sickness, set free from poverty. This is a poverty belt area. Amen. This is what the area is known for, the poor people. Not everybody's poor, of course. But comparing it to some of the other areas in the state and in the country, a lot of folks see this area as financially poor. But that doesn't apply to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
God wants you, what, out of debt? He wants your needs met, and he wants you to have plenty more to put in store. Ha, 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 ha. As long as you do it on your own, it won't get there. It just won't get there. Let's not let Easter get lost through vain traditions. Thank God. Listen to me now. Thank God for the Easter basket. Don't stop it. Amen. Those kids love it so much. Don't stop it. Don't you know, just that's got nothing to do with Christ. But don't stop it. If you got somebody that love that, just bless them. Just go on and just bless them. Let's continue to announce to the world that he lives. And I know he lives because he lives inside of me. Hallelujah. God is just a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you. Hallelujah. For death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Lord God, for just expounding on us to us today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Some of the reasons, the purpose, Lord God, the effects of that resurrection. Father, open our eyes so that we may see what we have not seen in the past. Open our eyes and let us see. Father God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for saving us. We relinquish.